Well, good early morning. So we continue our study in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 4, the latter part of chapter 4. Confidence when everything is exposed. So when everything is exposed about you, we need to understand as Christians, we can have confidence that God is on our side. Confidence that God is on our side. God knows everything about us already. And what we've seen over the last few chapters is that we have to stay the course in our faith. That we can't waver. Don't go backwards. Don't drift away. Don't quit. Don't stop. And I tell you what, today's message, it really hits home for all of us. And it gives us the importance of understanding and knowing and reading and studying God's Word. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I like what R.C. Sproul said. He says, "To know that God knows everything about me and yet loves me is indeed my ultimate consolation." Is that God knows you better than you know you, and He still loves you. So we read in Hebrews chapter 4, it's a reminder about God's Word and about who we are to God as Christians. So we begin reading down in verse 12. Says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do or give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Let's pray together. Father God, we so thank you for this word today. Prepare our hearts. Open our minds and our souls to receive what you have to give to us. May your Spirit pierce deeply through your word. God, we're here to grow. We're here to be conformed and transformed into your image. Use your word to do that for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the author of Hebrews reminds us of a few things in these few verses. First thing that we need to take in account, that the word of God penetrates to the very core of our being. It's hard for me to even fathom that people say, "Well, I've read the Bible through, and I really didn't get anything out of it." Well, because you didn't read it with the Holy Spirit giving you the interpretation or the alliteration and understanding of it. He didn't illuminate it to your mind. You can read the Bible as a piece of literature and never gain anything out of it. Or you can read it as God's holy, inspired, divine, inerrant word that's infallible for salvation, infallible to leave and to lead your life. So the Word of God penetrates to the very core of our being. We see in verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division between the soul and the spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." In other words, we are laid bare before God. There's much encouragement to, and a sobering reminder here, this sobering reality that this verse, to help us understand deeper what God is trying to say to us. That God's Word penetrates to the very core of our being. Listen, that's a sobering reality that we can't hide anything from God. And sometimes when we come to church, it's not supposed to be encouraging. It's supposed to be to a place that we grow, and sometimes that hurts. Sometimes pulling back those layers that we've built up over the years hurts. So the first thing we see here, out of verse 12, the first part of verse 12, that God's Word is living and active. So Jesus is very much alive. The Holy Spirit brings God's Word to life in our hearts and our minds. He takes the written Word of God and makes it effective for each of His believers. Makes it effective to us by faith, to all who will receive it. He illuminates our minds and moves freely through every believer. And God opens our minds up and our hearts up at His pleasure to understand what He wants, to bring counsel, to correct, to rebuke, to comfort, to impart wisdom, to impart knowledge, and to impart guidance. That's what God wants to do for us in His Word. And He wants to penetrate deeply. Listen, God's Word is great for comfort and encouragement, but sometimes we need to be rebuked. Sometimes we need to be spanked a little bit, because there's oftentimes what our mind and our heart wants to do that God says don't do. And God's Word reveals it to us in the power of the Spirit when He says don't do that. Will you turn a deaf ear to God and follow your heart? What the world says, follow your feelings. What does your heart tell you to do? Listen, the heart is deceptive above all things, and we lead you astray. If you live your life by your emotions and by your feelings, oh, what a rocky roller coaster ride you're on. And you miss it altogether. God's Word is alive and active. It does not return to God without results. He brings the words and the words to life that many seem, you know, they're just like they're just printed on a page, but through the Spirit they come to life and are effective for us to grow. It transforms the heart of lost sinners to born-again saints. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God. This is God's Word. It's God's gospel. God's Word is enlivened by the Spirit to fulfill His purposes in your life and in mine. We see the second part of verse 12, that God's Word penetrates deeply. There's no way that you can read God's Word on a shallow level without the Holy Spirit taking it and said, listen, He's saying this to you. Yet Christians, how many of you pick up your Bible, or if you have your Bible on your phone day in and day out, because you're so hungry for God's Word? You want God to teach you and to mold you and shape you. Are you that person? Or do you have to hunt for it for Sunday morning? Middle part of verse 12 says that God's Word is sharper than any double-edged or two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both joints and marrow. Listen, your physical and the spiritual you is divided up by God's Word. Everything is there. Well, we can fool a lot of people. It's amazing. We're so much more concerned what other people think about us than what God thinks about us. We'll do so many things in private as long as nobody sees or knows. But God is ever watching. God is always there to see. See, the author here describes the Word of God cutting to the very core of our being. He references, you know, the unseen part of a being as the soul and the spirit. And the physical part is the joints and marrow. In other words, God's Word dissects and analyzes every part of our being. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing and He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God's Word is powerful and able to evaluate every part of us. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's what consists of your soul. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. The soul and the spirit are different. See, the spirit is the immaterial facet of humanity. In Scripture, human beings have a spirit, but they are not spirits. You are a soul with a body. See, Scripture also claims that only believers are spiritually alive. Unbelievers are spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 from the English Standard Version says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love for which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." We're spiritually dead until the Holy Spirit regenerates our soul. In other words, makes us spiritually alive, that we can see Christ for who He is as Savior, and we respond to Him in faith and repentance. Then we're spiritually alive. See, the Spirit is pivotal to the life of the believer. The Spirit is the element in humanity that gives us the ability to have an intimate relationship with God. Because the flesh is evil. Our own nature wants to do things that please the flesh, that feel good, but they're displeasing to God. The only way we can have a relationship with God, that personal relationship, is that through our spirit, through the Holy Spirit making us alive spiritually. Because God is spirit. He is spirit. So we also see the third thing, that God's Word is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Not only does He divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, everything about us, He also can examine our thoughts and intentions. Now, you may guess someone else's intentions by their actions. They may do something, and you may take a wild guess, and you may be right or you may not be right, but you're not going to fool God. God knows why you did that good thing, that good deed for your neighbor this week. Was it to glorify Him, or was it the pat on the back? See, God knows our intentions, our motivations. He knows our thought processes. He knows what we ponder on. God knows our thoughts and our intentions, our motivations, everything about us. His Word is powerful. The Holy Spirit slices through every part of our being. He dissects truth from lies and brings all of it to light. God's Word. No wonder people don't want to read God's Word deeply, because it hurts. Because it's easy what we told somebody at work this past week. It convicts us when we begin to gossip about others and tell stories that we shouldn't. Man, God's Word begins to convict us. when we have thoughts that we shouldn't. God's word brings it to life. How many times have you read God's word and just stopped and said, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, Lord, just forgive me. You know what I said to those people last week. Lord, you know what I did. Man, God, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry for acting the way I did. Goodness. God's word brings it to life. He penetrates the very being. He judges our thoughts and our intentions. Verse 13 says, and there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do or to give account. What's that? That's what that means. The one we have to give account to sees it all. That's why when we have sin in our life, God sees it. So it's no surprise to him. That's why all he wants us to do is to repent of it. In other words, confess it to him. Be honest with ourselves. Be honest with God. Get it out there and get it over with and move forward. You see, sin is a serious thing. It's serious business with God. And we think we can hide that from everyone when the most important one is God. And he sees it already. Every believer will give account of his thoughts and his motives, his intentions of his heart. Man. Whew. I don't know, but I tell you what, that stings some. Because sometimes we just, oh, I'm under grace. Yeah, you're under grace, but you're also under account. God gives us the grace to live differently. And his grace is sufficient, is what the word says, to live differently. So we can't go out there and act like a bunch of fools. And say, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, you are, but you're also a saint of God. His eyes are always watching. Nothing is hidden from him. See, it's not just our behavior that we're responsible to God for. It's also the intentions of our heart and the thoughts, those ponderings in our mind. I think it was Martin Luther King said, you know, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop him from building a nest in your hair. You know, thoughts come through your mind. You see a billboard, and it's a lustful billboard, and it can easily stimulate thoughts in your mind if you allow it or if you capture those things before they begin pondering through your mind. See, we can't regulate everything we hear or everything we see, but we sure can stop it from resting in our brains. And we begin to ponder it and feed it over and over again. See, we give account for that. We give account. Nothing is hidden from God. All things are open and laid bare. See, God's word analyzes every part of us so that we can surrender to God the things in our life that are displeasing to him. That's why God's word speaks so deeply to us. That's why it's not shallow. Listen, I don't like shallow preaching. I've grown way beyond that, and I hope you have too. That you want God's word to go deep and bring something out that displeases God. Because when we're pleasing him, all the other things begin to fall into place. All the other things begin to fall into place when we're pleasing God. See, sin abounds where faith does not abound. Let us constantly allow the Holy Spirit to sweep across our lives through God's word, constantly sanctifying us into the image of Christ Jesus, where everything is naked before him. May we plead with God for his evaluation. May you come to church saying, God, show me something about me that does not please you. And by your grace and your power, get it out. Get it out. Sweep across me, Lord. There's not enough Christians saying that today. There's not enough Christians wanting the Lord to do an honest scrubbing in their life. They just want to feel better about themselves. If you're sick, do you want to be healed? Or you just want a chill pill so you can feel better? Because the chill pill only lasts a little while, but the healing is permanent. See, Christians, we need healing. We need the Holy Spirit to use God's word and penetrate deep and get it all out, confess it up to God, and God says, healed. Done. We will give account to Him. So it's so nice to confess and repent before the day of accountability. The second thing we see from this whole passage is that Jesus is our mediator. So scary as it is to know that God's word penetrates to the very core of our being and he lays bare everything that's there. Listen, that can hurt a little bit because he's going to show us some things that he's not pleased with. But then the writer of Hebrews comes back to give us some comfort. God's not here to slap us down. He's here to pull us up. You see, verse 14 says, therefore, or for this reason, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. He said, listen, all the things I've told you in the last four chapters, and what I say about God's word penetrating and slicing us up, analyzing and evaluating everything about us, we have a high priest. Since we have God's word that the Holy Spirit applies to our life to analyze and evaluate us, convict us to repent. Since nothing is hidden from God's eyes, and we must give account of everything, knowing this truth, we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Man, that's comforting to us. That Jesus is our high priest. He is our mediator. See, the Jewish Christians that the authors are approaching about, they were very familiar with the term high priest. In the old covenant, there was a high priest that went in to do sacrifices, to make sacrifice for the sins of all the people. This high priest was chosen, and he had one job to do in going in. He was the only one allowed into the Holy of Holies. And there was this huge curtain that divided the people from the Holy of Holies. This holy place, the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant went, that represented the presence of God. This high priest was the only one allowed to go in there. And behind this curtain, out of the sight of people, he made sacrifice. He made things right with God that covered over the sin. It's all the sins of the people. It's all a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross and washing away the sins of mankind. Notice the difference. One covered, one washed away. Old covenant covered sin until the Messiah came, Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came, the great high priest, he washed away the sins of all who would believe. They were very familiar with this terminology. When the author says that he passed through the heavens, that's like that high priest passing through the curtain into the Holy of Holies. Where did Jesus pass through the heavens to go to? The heavenly temple. We read in Revelation, in the heavenly temple, he's there at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. He's our mediator. He is the one who speaks in our behalf. Ascension of Christ to the right hand of the Father. Listen, this makes Jesus greater than any high priest before him. Jesus does the intercession in our behalf in that heavenly temple. Since we have Jesus interceding in our behalf, verse 14 says, let us hold fast to our confession. Let us hold fast. He warned the Jewish Christians, listen, don't drift away. Do not harden your heart. Do not fail to believe. Do not lack in faith in Jesus. Do not fail to enter God's rest because of disobedience. Remember, hold fast your confession of faith in Jesus. Confess what you possess, faith in Jesus Christ. Because our confession and our confidence is our confession that is not based on our own ability to keep faith, but rather it is to be based on the power of Christ who alone can keep us in faith. Let us have faith when we approach Christ in prayer, that He hears us, that He loves us, that He wants good for us in our life. Even though you're going through troubles, listen, you may pray for healing that you'll never receive. Physical healing from a disease or some kind of crippling thing, maybe a terminal illness, that you want God to take it from you. And God wants you to understand that His grace is sufficient to carry you through it. And that He'll be glorified in you regardless of what you go through in life. That you can give God glory. Understanding that when you approach God's throne in pain and He says, Lord, when you say, Lord, give me relief. That we have a high priest who sympathizes with us. Verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Wait a minute, Brother Kevin. You mean Jesus faced the challenges like I face? Absolutely. He faced challenges. See, Scripture doesn't record every temptation He went through, every challenge, but God's Word says He faced them all just like we do. But He didn't sin. So even though Christ is our great high priest who intercedes in God's temple, He is quite familiar with our human experience. See, Jesus took on humanity and had similar human experiences. Jesus knows what we're going through in life, and He sympathizes with all of our weaknesses. So as God's Word penetrates and slices us up and evaluates us and lays us bare, and listen, it hurts a lot of times. Understand, when we go to God for forgiveness, Lord, forgive me for saying these things. Forgive me for doing these things. Lord, forgive me, forgive me. He sympathizes. He's not there to say, you disobedient child. Who do you think you are? He doesn't do that at all. I can see a high priest coming down and said, tell me about it, son. And we pour out our heart to Him. And He listens. He listens to us. He listens to all our screw-ups. He listens to all our failures. He realizes what we've been through has been traumatic. He knows what pain feels like. He was crucified, the most barbaric pain that you can imagine, till death. See, this is our high priest who sits with us and listens. And when we're done pouring out our heart, He lovingly looks at us and says, I understand. Go in peace. You're forgiven. Go live in peace that I can give you and that only I can give you. And we leave that prayer time knowing that we've sat down in the Holy of Holies with the Lord in prayer. And sometimes when our words fail, the Holy Spirit speaks for us because of our humility and openness. And the Lord understands. I like John Calvin said it this way. He said, these weaknesses that we have includes both external evils and internal feelings of the soul. Jesus understands. He knows what it's like. He lived as a man and experienced the things that we experience. He was concerned for us when we're in trouble, when we're tempted, or when we are hungry. Christ sympathizes with us when we suffer, and He wants to relieve our suffering. He can provide for our daily needs and save us from trouble. When in trouble, Christ sympathizes with our emotions, when we have losses and disappointments. And He rejoices when we have a wonderful and godly things going on in our life. Jesus rejoices with us. See, Christ, our high priest, He understands what we go through in life. So not only is He slicing us open with His Word, not only is the Spirit counseling us and convicting us and showing us the error of our way and giving us encouragement and giving us the things that we need to live the life. When we mess it all up, and His Word reveals that to us, and we're so ashamed of where we've been and what we've done, and we're so embarrassed. Jesus says, I understand. Understand where you've been. Oh, what hope for all of us. Oh, what comfort that we can approach God with confidence as His child, knowing that He hears us and He understands. Verse 16 says, therefore, I like those therefores. Since you know this, in light of it, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need. Because Christ understands our human experience. Listen, Christian. We can come boldly to His throne of grace and receive what we need so that we can endure, so that we can persevere to the very end. We have no reason or excuse to drift away when Christ offers mercy and grace. The world doesn't offer that. The world just beats you up. That's all the world offers, is to use you up till there's nothing left. And Jesus is saying, I'll give you grace and I'll give you mercy. See, God is not waiting to crush us and leave us in bondage. No, Jesus is full of grace and mercy to set us free when temptations and sins seem to overwhelm us. He's ready to pour into our life and to heal us. Let's be confident that our great high priest understands, that He sympathizes with us, that He will give us what we need to live faithful to Him and grow in mercy and maturity and persevere. So the question comes down today, what are you struggling with in your life? What are you personally struggling with? You see, it has to be a personal thing. God's Word is personal to us. This is God's gospel. We're His children. We have a personal relationship with Christ. What are you struggling with this morning? What life experiences have beaten you down? And listen, lay heavy upon you. Christ is calling out to you to come to Him. Just as you are, with all of your hurts, all your cares, all your disappointments, to find hope, find healing, and find restoration. God's world opens us up, but He just doesn't open us up to pour into salt into the wound. No, He opens us up so the Spirit of God can clean us up and heal us. Oh, listen, we need that encouraging word. We need to know that God's word does that to us and penetrates us. And we need to know that we can approach Jesus with confidence that he'll hear us. He sympathizes with us and he forgives us. Let's pray together. Father God, teach us your word. Remind us, God, when the world is beating up on us, when we're beating up on ourselves, that there's grace and mercy in you. That you would teach us, you would disciple us, you would show us how to live a life that is pleasing to you. Take your word and penetrate to us, God. You are the one who hears us when we pray. You intercede in our behalf. You are our great high priest. Or maybe there's someone who's struggling with something here this morning. God, they just need to go to you in prayer. Just lay it all out before you. Have your way and have your freedom to move in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. This altar is open if you want to come pray.